You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Corn, beef, and cabbage! Yeah. Corn, beef, and cabbage!
Hot, hot, in the pot. Hot, hot, in the pot. Mustard and rabbit. Don't forget the horseradish now. Corn, beef, and cabbage. Do the corn, beef, and cabbage.
Hey, how's it going? This is Chris from the comedy band Power Salad, and you are listening to the Flopcast on W... No, wait, this is the internet. Never mind.
Kyle!
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 211.
Well, it better be.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Hi, Kevin.
All right, here we go. We're back in Studio B again tonight.
I like it.
Which is weird. It's small. It's intimate.
It's cozy.
Well, the most important feature of Studio B tonight, making its debut for the summertime season, we're back on the iced coffee.
Complete with coffee cubes.
Coffee cubes. This is a huge moment in the Flopcast year, is when we switch over from the hot coffee to the iced coffee. And that time is now.
And what you can't see, because this is an audio podcast, is that I'm snuggling mine.
I knew you'd be super excited for the return of the iced coffee. And yeah, our coffee, of course, has coffee cubes. We don't put regular ice cubes in the coffee.
Because that would just water it down.
You don't want to water down your coffee. Our coffee becomes just further coffified as the cubes melt.
So good.
This will be a quick show, though, I think.
Because we don't have lights.
We got nothing to say. We were so busy preparing coffee, we did not really put a lot of preparation into the rest of the show. But
we really didn't do anything else that we could possibly talk about.
Most important thing is the coffee. I know how to start the show, at least, and that would be, how about National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
May 27th is National Grape Popsicle Day.
All right. That's bizarre.
Grape popsicles. Have whatever flavor you want, but we're celebrating grape because it tastes like purple.
Right.
You ever notice that? How the grape popsicles taste like Dimetap?
Like what?
Dimetap. Like the cough medicine.
Oh, okay. Take your word for it.
You haven't been chugging down Dimetap like I have.
No, not since I got out of rehab.
That's just good. It's got grape.
Do you have a lot of popsicles? Normally?
I love grape popsicles.
Yeah.
I also like just about any flavor of the popsicles in the plastic bag that you let melt. And...
Yeah, you mean a freeze pop?
I'm trying to like shape one out with my hands. And...
If only there was a word for that that happened to also be our favorite band.
Yes.
Oh, wait.
Yes. So, do you know of how the popsicle got its name?
Some kind of a cycling accident?
Thankfully, no. Back in 1905, there was a guy named Frank Epperson. We have Frank Epperson to thank. At that time, it was called the Epsicle, because his last name was Epperson, and it was like an icicle.
What an egomaniac.
Yeah. At first, they were called Epsicles. And around 1923, he was old enough, and he had his own children, and they wanted Pop's Epsicles. So his kids would ask for popsicles, and that's the name that lived on.
Okay. I don't believe a word of that, but it's a delightful story nonetheless. Did you ever make your own popsicles by filling an ice cube tray with orange juice and then sticking toothpicks in, as I learned to do in a cartoon many years ago?
I didn't. I wanted to.
Sunshine on a stick. Compliments of Time for Timer.
Sunshine on a stick.
I never actually did that. We used to make popsicles. Like, we had, like, plastic popsicle-shaped things that you'd fill.
Do you ever get disappointed because you used real juice and it didn't taste like the sugary stuff that you... You're like, oh, wow, this tastes like fruit.
And it's hugely disappointing.
Right.
Yeah.
How come this doesn't taste like what we get at the store? What would you say is the weirdest flavor of popsicle?
I'm going to stick with my coffee cubes.
If you took...
I should have stuck little toothpicks in them, like Time for Timer.
Exactly.
Like an older, grumpier, miserable, aging Time for Timer. be like, hey, kids, forget the sunshine on a stick. We're going with, like, darkness on a stick.
Darkness on a stick.
Because I need a little miniature coffee popsicle.
I want them. I want one.
I'm a miserable cartoon blob. Haven't been on TV in 37 years.
And I'm half asleep. I'm
getting the shakes. I need my coffee popsicle right now.
Yes.
Maybe we could try making coffee popsicles right here on the show sometime. Just that Time for Timer would have wanted it that way. May he rest in peace.
Okay, now take an empty ice tray and fill it up with orange juice or lemonade or pomegranate juice or whatever turns you on. Then cover the tray with plastic wrap, carefully poke the toothpicks through the plastic, put it in the freezer, and in a few hours, presto, stacks of snacks. Don't wait until it rains before you try this nifty trick. You'll have a fun time eating sunshine on a stick.
So great popsicles, May 27th. You know what to do.
Okay. Moving on, what have we been up to? Nothing?
Precisely.
I've done a couple of things, I think, since the last show. Well, you know, I was up in Maine, as we mentioned. I had a little bonus follow-up report because of our trip to Maine. We were up there with a bunch of friends for a birthday party, and it was great. And at the actual birthday party, we met some lovely people there. Met them for the first time. They had no idea who we were. But they knew that we were from the Boston area. They had tickets for the following weekend for Ben Folds in Boston. And they were like, here you go, we have extra tickets, see you there.
Sweet.
Wasn't that lovely?
Wow.
You're a Ben Folds fan, right?
Yes.
And going way back to the old days, I assume.
Absolutely.
Yeah, me too.
I wanted to ask, is this the first time you've seen Ben Folds 5 in concert?
Well, it wasn't Ben Folds 5.
It was just Ben Folds solo?
And it wasn't just Ben Folds solo. But I have seen Ben Folds 5, which was a trio.
Right.
For any listeners unfamiliar with Ben Folds 5, it must have been 20 years ago I went to a Ben Folds 5 concert. What a special sound they had. Like, I remember hearing Underground, the first single, on the radio.
Wow.
And thinking, what in the world is this? Because it didn't sound like anything else. I remember playing it for Ed from Sponge Awareness, and that's only happened maybe 3 or so times ever that I actually brought a song to Ed and said, Ed, listen to this. Listen to these guys, what they're doing. And we saw Ben Folds when his, I think his first solo record came out, 2001.
Mm.
The Rock in the Suburbs album, I guess, would have been new around then. That was a great show, too. This was even weirder. This was Ben Folds has a new album with a group called Y Music.
Oh.
It's in the letter Y Music. Y Music. And they're like a classical ensemble. They're really cool. This was a 6-piece, like a cello and a viola and, you know, lady playing a flute and a piccolo, stuff like that. There was a guy playing a clarinet.
Nifty.
How often do you see that? I'd like a good clarinet.
I would say it's rarinet.
Oh, and sometimes he'd switch to the bass clarinet.
Ooh.
You know those things? You ever seen a bass clarinet? It's like a long, thin, skinny, dark saxophone. It looks like a coffee popsicle. And I was freaking out. I was like nudging the mayor. I'm like, that guy's got a bass clarinet.
I thought you were going to say that guy's got a popsicle.
I think it's a popsicle.
He's playing a popsicle.
You must know great popsicle days coming up. But I was way more excited than I should have been that there was a bass clarinet in the theater.
The last time I saw him was when the last Ben Folds 5 album came out.
Yeah, that was just a couple of years ago. That's when he was working with the Fraggles,
yes.
As I recall.
Yes, they were. And that was the original lineup. That was the trio.
Yeah, that was Ben Folds 5, their big comeback. And they made a music video with Fraggle Rock.
Do it anyway.
Right.
Yes. They, Ben Folds 5, and Guster opened for Bare Naked Ladies that summer.
One of my favorite old Ben Folds 5 songs is Stephen's Last Night in Town.
Oh, that song is great.
Isn't that great? Well, towards the end of the show, they were doing some of his older stuff. They break into Stephen's Last Night in Town. And then I realized that song has a clarinet in it.
Yes!
Here we go. Now he's got a clarinet on stage. Oh, it was incredible.
How fortuitous.
So, super fun show, of course. So I wanted to say thanks to Valerie and Rob, our new friends that we just met in Maine. And they immediately bestowed concert tickets upon us.
For Ben Folds.
Yeah.
Guy is just insanely talented.
That was great.
Stopped caring what you think about me. I gave up. We're told we are capable of anything, but
The other show we went to came up a little earlier in the show, actually. We saw Freeze Pop.
Yeah.
If only I'd known Great Popsicle Day was coming, I could have been promoting it at the Freeze Pop show. But they did a show in Harvard Square this past weekend. Super fun show also, needless to say. And because of the weirdness of our recording schedule, we haven't really plugged their Kickstarter on the podcast yet.
Oh, right.
Have we? And it's almost over.
Right. It's been immensely successful.
Yeah. So as this show comes out, there's only a few days left, I think. So we promoted this online already, but we'll put out another reminder online before this show comes out. There might still be time as you hear this show. Maybe not. Either way, yeah, the Freeze Pop is kickstarting their next album. And as we record this, they're still trying to hit their final stretch goal, I think. One of the reward levels for kickstarting them is they'll make you a sandwich and mail it to you.
Ew!
I think they're making fluff sandwiches.
Okay, well, that's kind of cool.
Those travel well.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's some parts of the country that don't have fluff.
Marshmallow fluff is a Massachusetts product.
That's
local. So fluff is not known nationwide? I assumed it traveled far and wide throughout this land of ours.
There are places in this country that you probably could get it if you wanted it or you knew to ask for it.
But there are places that don't know particularly about marshmallow fluff.
Yeah.
Because it's all we talk about around here.
It's all I ever eat.
We're on a strict fluff diet.
I put that stuff on everything.
Here in Massachusetts.
I mean, it wouldn't be a salad without fluff.
No. I'd dunk my popsicles in it.
Mmm, popsicle fluff.
Freeze Pop will make you a fluff sandwich, I think. Let me see. You know what?
On the internet.
I've got the Kickstarter up right now. I want to see how many people have ordered a sandwich so far. It's in here somewhere. Did I dream this?
CD plus sandwich.
CD plus sandwich 7. So far, they have to make 7 sandwiches.
I love that.
Freeze Pop actually recorded a whole new song just for the Kickstarter. There's a video. They're on a spaceship, and they have a new song all about their Kickstarter called Human Money, because they're asking you for your human money.
Oh.
And it's great.
So they don't want cat money.
The cats are off the hook. They do not have to financially support the album. They're going to listen.
I can't think of a single cat that I know that doesn't like Freeze Pop.
You could even share your sandwich with your cat, if you like.
I'll share it with the dog.
Alright, let me think. What else were we going to talk about today? We don't have a lot more to cover on this show, I think.
I should maybe just, for the sake of saying what I've been up to.
Yeah, please. What do you have? Throw something out.
I got to see Dornail recently.
You saw Dornail? That's a treat.
Did. Do you ever get on the road planning to go somewhere and you can't go that direction and you just randomly decide to go somewhere else?
Next thing you know, you're seeing Dornail.
Exactly.
It's happened to all of us.
So I'm in
one time or another. We're not proud.
I'm in the car, and I've got a toddler with me.
Yeah.
And my boyfriend's 3-year-old son, Kaladin, is in the car with me, and I go to get on the highway just to go home, and I realize I don't have toll money, so I can't get on the highway. So I'm like, I know how to take the back roads to get to Manchester from here. They give Dornail a call. I'm like, hey, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm busy with work. And I said, that's too bad. I was going to go to the Red Arrow. And she goes, hang on. And I hear some talking and some muttering in the background, and she goes, I'm free. I'll meet you there.
Right.
So the three of us piled into the Red Arrow and...
the Red Arrow Diner in New Hampshire. I've been there with you before.
The last time you and I were there, Mr. T walked in.
Yes.
New England's Mr. T.
It's like your favorite place.
I love the Red Arrow, and it is one of the top 10 diners in the country.
Wow.
I did get home, by the way. I got some toll money, and I went home after that.
Wasn't like a Charlie on the MPA situation?
Right. We did get home. It was okay.
I know what I wanted to do to wrap up the show.
What?
Let's go to the mailbag.
The
Flopcast mailbag. We hardly ever open that thing.
What's gotten into you? We don't read mail on this show.
Rarely do we acknowledge the many, many sacks of cards and letters that an old-fashioned like mailman from the 1940s drops off here on the front steps of the studio every single day.
Yeah, it would be hard to find time to read all of them, but I just kind of like, I make a cozy little bed out of them and yeah. I snuggle up with the mailbags.
Burrow into them like a rodent.
Yeah. So I show them some love.
Sure.
But I guess we have a couple of standouts, huh?
Yeah. Well, like for example, we got an email from our friend Bob. You know, Bob, immortalized in the song Because of Bob.
Ah.
By the great Luke Ski.
We love Bob.
He sent us a nice email with photos and stuff in it. And most importantly, he included a photo. He said, here's a skink at the San Francisco Bay Aquarium. And he included a photo of a skink, which, as you know, is one of my favorite animals.
He knows how you like a good skink.
Bob knows. We mentioned on the show that we enjoy skinks around here. And it's like a creepy little lizard.
Mm.
So here's a skink that Bob sent us.
Hello, skink.
How about that?
Oh.
And Bob wrote, I know how you like a good skink. This one was about the size of one of Popeye's forearms.
Whoa.
That's how Bob measures everything, by the way. You ask Bob the size of anything, he will give you a Popeye cartoon-based comparison.
That's way more interesting than a bread box.
Yes.
Always great to hear from Bob.
Yeah, so Bob, thanks for the skink. You don't get to say that to people very often.
Thank you for the skink.
We have another one here from Lee, Eclectic Lee, I believe.
Oh!
Did Lee send you pictures of lobsters anytime recently?
Yes.
Okay, because he sent a message, but not the pictures, but he references the pictures. So he sent you pictures of lobsters separately, apparently.
Yes.
We heard from Lee, who said, I was at Target last night and saw more lobster items, so I had to take a photo for Cornflake. My wife, who's never heard of the Flopcast... Well, she's not alone, Lee. You're the weird one in this situation, you understand. His wife asked what I was doing. So he told her, I'm taking photos of the lobster stuff for a person on the internet who likes lobsters. That should be your description, like on your Twitter page.
It is.
It should just say, a person on the internet who likes lobsters.
My description on my Twitter page is co-host of the Flopcast, Lobster Devotee.
Okay, there you go. That's you. Continuing Lee's dialogue here, his wife replied, just some random person? And Lee said, well, her name's Cornflake, with a K. Two Ks, actually. And then it says, that was pretty much the end of the conversation. She may have muttered, uh-huh, before we moved on to other things. I'm guessing that being married to Eclectic Lee, she's used to strange moments like that breaking out in department stores.
I do wish I could have been a fly on the wall for that.
So what was the picture? What kind of lobster was it exactly?
It's lobster home apparel. So pillows, like throw pillows with lobsters.
Lobster pillows.
And I think it was Sarah, our friend Sarah Trice, sent me a picture of, also from Target, of a lobster nighty. So...
For an intimate lobster-themed evening. Lobsters after
lobster
dark.
Lobster pillows, lobster nighty. Our listeners know what I like, Kevin.
We just let the evening unfold from there. Right? That's all you need to set the mood. And let me see, I've got one more message that just came in today, I think. On our Facebook page, we got a note from Mike.
Mad Mike. I saw his message. He was very surprised that neither of us know how to shoot an arrow with a bow.
Yeah, Mike, and Mike apparently does. Mike says he wants to give us archery lessons.
Okay, the next con that all three of us are at, it has to be an event.
We're going to get thrown out of the next... I think most conventions frown upon archery lessons.
Well, they're going to have to get over it, Kevin. Mad Mike has an important lesson to teach us all.
Mike seems surprised that we don't know how to fire a bow and arrow. Mike actually wrote, I mean Dukes of Hazzard, come on. That is true. Bo and Luke would fire arrows on the show.
Oh, that's funny.
Right in the opening credits, you see them with their bow and arrows. They have, like, explosive arrows. They fire an arrow and then things explode. Let's do that at the convention.
That may be where we have to draw the line.
I think so.
But I would take a archery lesson from Mad Mike.
Oh, me too. Just now.
Can we please videotape it?
It's not going to happen at MarsCon, is what I'm saying.
Oh, ye of little faith.
So, thanks everybody who's kind enough to send a message to the Flopcast. Again, we don't always review them on the air just because we're so busy talking about popsicles and fluff, you know, important things. But we do love hearing from everybody, so keep those messages coming. We don't give out the email address very often.
It's true.
We do have an email address. It's info@flopcast.net.
Yes.
So you can send us a message, just like these crazy people have been doing.
It's also possible to message us through Facebook.
That's true, too. What's our Facebook page again?
Facebook.com/Flopcast.
And you can reach us through Twitter, right?
@Flopcast is our handle.
Yes. And then there's the old webpage.
Our very own website is flopcast.net.
There's so many ways to send us a picture of a skink. So keep them coming.
Just think about it.
And,
yeah, though we don't get a chance to read all of our messages on air, we are tickled pink whenever we receive one.
And skink.
We are tickled skink.
Thank you.
That was so great.
And speaking of skinks, here's a tease for next week. Next week's subject is very similar to a skink.
Ooh, reptilian but, in nature,
yeah,
yes.
A skink-like subject coming up in one short week.
That's because we're always trying to be skink-like.
Always. We'll see you there.
Peace and cookies. Last night in town.
The Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast delivers the latest sci-fi news, plus movie and TV reviews with brilliant and insightful commentary. If you haven't listened to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast before, you will listen to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast now.
What, you think you're some kind of Jedi waving your hand around like that?
Watto, I'm telling everyone to listen to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will, including you.
No, they won't. I'm a Tridarian. My tricks don't work on me. Only money.
Okay, I don't have money, but please listen to the Monster Sci-Fi Show podcast. Sci-fi, from a certain point of view.
Oh, you need pup, pup, pup. You make a pup for nutter. Marshmallow pup, and lots of peanut butter. First you spread, spread, spread your bread with peanut butter. Add marshmallow pup, and have a pup for nutter. When you enjoy, joy, joy your pup and peanut butter, you're glad you have enough for another pup or nutter.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at ESONetwork.com.